You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Notorious, so notorious.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. Hey everyone, before we get started today, I'd like to ask a favor of you. Please go to our website at twooldolphins.com and sign up for email notifications. The only time we typically send anything out is when we publish a podcast, and you will receive that email immediately upon us publishing it, which guarantees that you will hear the podcast probably a day before anyone else, as it's taking very long to populate the various platforms, you know, iTunes and Google Play and Spotify these days, so do that. We'd also like to grow the podcast, so if you could follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, that would be great. Tell your friends about us. That would be even better. Thanks. Hello and welcome to a special edition of Two Old Dolphins podcast. We are in Miami and we have a whole table full of people here today. First, Alex, how you doing today, Alex?
Doing great, man. Nice to be back home.
How many beers have you had today?
One.
Only one?
Well, you mean what kind of beer?
Sure. Whatever.
No, yeah, a couple maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I lost count.
I might have had more than you. I'm not sure. So we've also got Andy Korch, who's been a guest on the show before.
And a host.
And a host at La Finca.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hey, thanks for coming to Miami. Was the avocados good last night? Anybody?
Incredible.
We get yes, incredible.
That's
incredible.
Eric. I mean, unreal. The avocados were fantastic. Cuban food. You guys, I have gained 5 pounds already since you got here.
Yep.
I got to tell you, but it's good to have you here visiting Miami. It's the place, the hometown of our beloved Dolphins. So I'm glad you guys are here, and we're going to have a great game on Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for having us. This is going to be awesome.
At the La Finca Ranch, by the way.
We've all been drinking a bit today, so I'm going to put a warning before I introduce the rest of the people, because they're more likely to swear than we are even, possibly.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we try to keep things clean most of the time. Every once in a while, I'll put a explicit on the podcast, and I expect that there may be some arguments and some disagreement in this one, so just not me and Alex agreeing all the time, so fair warning. So Eric Hansen is here from Virginia.
Say hello, Eric. Welcome from Virginia. I will say that Miami. It's Miami. I was going to say that Andy's avocado was the size of Tom Brady's deflated football.
Perfect, perfect. Hondo has been part of this podcast for years. Hondo's here with us. How you doing, my friend?
What's up, guys? I'm excited to be here. Not as drunk as I thought I would be, so I think I might have some good insight, hopefully.
That's because you came with your wife.
He's behaving more than the rest of us, at least to this point.
That's what she said.
All right. Last but not least is our longtime friend, Jeff King. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Last one in town.
First one to be drunk.
Perfect. Perfect answer.
And by the way, he just got here, correct? I mean, Jeff, you just got here literally hours ago. Have you eaten Cuban food yet or no?
I have not. I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect.
And by the way, everyone in this room, throughout the year, we're in the chat room that we always talk about.
Yeah.
It's really cool. That's the first time we've all been together in the same room.
Yeah, I was calling it a text circle for a while until somebody said, it sounds like you're talking about a circle jerk. So
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah, none of that going on
so
here.
So now it's just a text group, the Dolphins text group. And yes. We're all old except for one person, and everyone knows who that one person is.
It's Hondo.
He's got the best beard in the room.
Yeah.
I've been told I'm the beard god.
Well, no, the thing with Hondo is he's young, so he's everlastingly hopeful, you know?
Yeah.
He really thinks the Dolphins are going to go all the way, but us who have been around life a while, those who've been around life a while, know a little thing. You're so jaded at this point. Aren't you, Eric?
Absolutely. He's the optimist in the crowd, for sure. He hasn't lived through the pain of us old guys.
I really try to keep the group chat like as positive as possible. Just look, the glass is half today. Full, baby. The glass is half full.
Yeah, we start hating on Greer, and he's like, Greer's the best. So, yeah, he keeps us in check to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, to his credit, to Hondo's credit, he's been supportive of Greer. The rest of us were off that wagon a long time ago. And now, hey, we're all back on it. So we're eating a little crow. Okay.
It's not so bad.
That's not necessarily, I'll correct that a little bit. It's not that we've been anti-Greer, okay? The whole thing has been that we have said he's middle of the road.
That's true.
Middle of the road.
Nobody said he sucks.
And nobody says he sucks. I think other people suck. He was always like one hit, two misses, whatever, right? Middle of the road.
Yeah.
Recently, he's done an excellent job.
Yeah.
An excellent job.
Yeah.
And we've admitted that.
I was the first person that was regretting drafting Achane, and I couldn't have possibly been more wrong. Except for the injury part.
Except he's on the IR right now. But that's happening.
Which was the one big question, right?
Yeah, him staying healthy.
Yeah, because he was slight and small and whatever. He has all the speed and he's got great moves and all of that. But we were concerned about his health, and so here we are.
But, guys, the fact that guy's second in the NFL in rushing and playing two games, whatever.
But leader by
played two games?
The leader by a long shot in YPC.
Two and a half.
Like a long shot. Over 12.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
I've never heard of that.
For the number of carries he has and everything, and the number of touchdowns. And
have you ever heard of a team that has a second running back that's averaging 6 yards a carry, and everybody thinks he sucks?
I mean, because he fumbled once.
Six yards. We would die for that in our history.
He's underperforming in our backfield. I mean, you could theoretically say that, right? I don't think I'm stretching that phrase.
Oh, God.
All right. So Monday, we were too busy with work and getting ready. Tuesday, we were too busy to get work and getting ready to do the podcast. Wednesday, we flew here. Drank a lot yesterday. I think that was the agenda. So it's Friday. Got to edit and publish this tonight just so people can hear it before the game. But let's talk about the Giants game a little bit. My first note was coin toss question mark, because this has been a common theme for us. Did we win the coin toss?
Yes, we did.
And we still elected to go second. So what example did you want to pull out?
Well,
for somebody that actually made the decision based on strategy.
Well, the sample that we were talking about,
Chicago.
I can't fucking remember. Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the example is the Chicago game where the announcers kept talking 89 to 91%, I forget the exact number, of all teams defer.
But when they win.
When they win the coin flip.
Yeah.
But yet Chicago took the ball, went down the field, scored, dictated the game, and won. What was that?
Their first game.
Victory, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, you know, this is a copycat league world, but I really think as the Dolphins, with our defense being somewhat weak right now and our offense being super elite,
the number one offense in the NFL, the number one offense,
maybe ever,
it's ahead of the Rams.
Like
at this
Daniel
point.
Said, he put that as one of his goals, right? doing as well as we've been doing, I think we should take the pelota first and dictate the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I say one thing as it relates to the coin toss?
Sure.
I really never watched or cared about the coin toss until I started listening to your podcast. I was promoting it in the stadium at the Denver game. I kept telling people around me, hey, who won the coin toss?
Who cares? Toss. Hand me another beer right now.
Hand me another. What's that you're passing around that bubbles up? I don't know. But at any rate, no. That's what I've been, hey, and I've been promoting your podcast, guys. So, you know.
And I'll say,
do you want bucks payment over from all the $0 we make
exactly,
at this?
Exactly, yes.
But, and guys, and we talked about it before, but I remember this as a kid, and I emphasized it in one of our podcasts, that during our perfect year, we won every coin flip, and we took the ball every single time, and we scored every single time.
Take a lesson from Don Shula. He's not a
the
shabby
winningest coach of all time.
Is that you won every coin toss? Is that like a Cuban? You won every coin toss? Like
the
massive exaggeration.
The
maybe they won 10 out of 14.
No,
but it's every game.
No, and it clear. And in
it's a Cuban fish story.
In disclosure, Andy's been a little jaded because he thinks Cuba's exaggerating, and some do, but I don't.
Yeah.
And we won every coin flip.
No comment.
And we took that, and we won the Super Bowl. We were undefeated.
No, but to your point, I remember when we were kids. You guys can want to talk to it. That every when a team won the coin flip, they picked the ball to be kicked to them. All the time, every game.
That's right.
Not just the Dolphins. I remember that was the league wide. So to your point, yeah, it is really is a copycat league.
It is. It is, and we should change it around and follow the Bears for once.
Everyone should follow the Bears' example. Yes, because they're such a winning team. Yes.
Well, they were. It worked last week for them.
It did. It did. It's weird that they made our point for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, well, we came out running the ball a lot. It was more than balanced. It was more run than pass initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to see Achan, let's pronounce his name correctly, going forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that dude looks awesome. I have to say again, I don't think I've ever been more wrong about a draft pick.
Yeah, can we just go around the table and talk about who was right and wrong about that draft pick?
Yeah.
Is I led the young buck over there,
yeah.
And I was leading the. I loved him because I saw him play in the SEC, being a Gator fan all the time, and we get those games here in Miami. So he looked just so fast in college, and but his Achilles heel is he's small. He's not a big guy.
Yeah. So before you take your victory lap,
yeah.
Which, in reality, you know, hey, yes, I mean, we all love his speed, and McDaniel was super excited, but our concern was his size, and he's already been injured twice.
Yeah. Yep.
Pondo, any comments on that?
No, I mean, I was really excited to draft him because, mm-hmm. you know, we talk, I go really deep into
the draft. Because he crushed your Hurricanes.
Yeah. So he did, I watched him, yeah. and I watched him the year, he was a 2-year starter in the SEC, and he was, you know, bouncing off. He actually broke more tackles, if you guys didn't know, than Bijan Robinson and than Jahmyr Gibbs. This kid was a guy that...
Beautiful mind.
It's a guy that I didn't think would have that type of injury concern because he didn't have it in college. You know, I think the injuries, that type of tackle, that the way his knee went down, I think a lot of running backs would get hurt in that type of, in, you know, play. So
you saw the play where he got hurt?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember what play it was.
I thought it was an ankle.
Yeah.
How did he get injured in the preseason?
I was surprised the next day that he was hurt. I didn't know until we saw the news the next day.
So in the preseason, he got picked up and dropped, like,
yes,
down. Like,
I remember that.
It should have been a personal foul,
right.
Dropped onto his shoulder. That was like a weird
It was
play.
Like a wrestling move.
Yeah, so that doesn't happen.
Pile driver.
Nowadays, in the game, he was tackled and dragged from behind. The guy's whole weight went down on his leg, on his right leg, and I thought it was an ankle, so I was like, oh, high ankle sprain. But he actually came back like a series later when there was like barely.
Oh, so he played again?
He played again. He played three more snaps.
One more play.
He played three more snaps. He just only got one more run.
One more run.
Actually, after his injury. But it was a knee, so, you know, it's one of those things where adrenaline, everything, mm-hmm. you know, and then
you
your knee inflames and. It is what it is. So, but I love Achan. I mean, I think.
But his size was the question coming out. No question about
sure.
it. You know, and when he got injured the first, you know, quarter of the season, it's twice as you say. Mm-hmm. There is a need for concern. I would say
yes. Yeah. So in my notes, one of my highlights, one of my major concerns, because we talk about the positive and the negative, is the observation of how the defense has been tackling. Mm-hmm. Literally. It looks like the best tackler on the team is a corner named Kader Kohou. And Holland, who we all expected to be a superstar, I saw him making shoulder tackles and not even wrapping people up. Missing the tackle because he was making a shoulder tackle. So what's going on with tackling? I thought Fangio was a defensive genius and at least he would teach fundamentals.
You know who led our team in tackles? Eli Apple.
Well, there you go. We had a little discussion about
Eli Apple.
Go figure.
And David Long.
David Long.
David Long has been really coming on, guys. He's been, he was like a disappointing act the first game. And since then, he's been really doing well.
DeShone Elliott has been a guy that's been a sure tackler for the Miami Dolphins, has been one of the leading tacklers for the Dolphins as well. And we missed him in the Buffalo game. And so when Brandon Jones got in there, you could see the difference. I don't know if Brandon Jones is 100% or, you know, the way he was in the first three games last year, but you can see that it was a huge difference between him and Deshaun Elliott when it came to the run game and any short intermediate passes that where you need a short tackle to not allow a first down. Deshaun's been awesome this season.
Yeah, I don't think Jones is healthy yet. I mean, he doesn't look healthy to me. The way he was tackling, cutting people off, you know, I don't think he looks good. And, you know, that I think you're right. That was a difference. Elliott, I didn't realize how good Elliott was. I was surprised from the beginning of the season how great of a tackler he is, unquestionably.
So, Achane lost his first fumble in this game. That was not a positive. He can rip those 12-yard runs, but can't turn the ball over.
So if you guys...
It was a wicked hit.
I rewatched it. Yeah. It should have been a flag. He shouldn't have lost the fumble. He got tripped before he got the hit.
No kidding. So he stuck this leg out?
Yeah, I saw a bunch of things on Twitter were talking about it. And he still lost the ball. Should have held on to the ball, obviously. But the guy, I forget what player for the Giants, but he tripped him, fell down to the floor because he got shook, tripped him, and then the guy hit him, and that's when the fumble happened. So it should have been, and the trip actually hit his shins and whatnot. He actually fell because of that. So it shouldn't have been a fumble. It should have been a flag, but he fumbled. You got to hold on to the ball regardless.
Before, and he says, are you guys actually bagging on HN? Because he always mocks us if we score 70 points. You guys really talking about mistakes being made during this game? So
well, I just thought it was funny. Like, yeah. After that Denver game, you guys are not like, how can you possibly criticize anything? I sat there in nirvana.
Because we hate mistakes.
And, you know, do you ever wonder, you know, at halftime or at the end of a quarter, you go, wow, they scored 21 points, so they'll score 84 by the end of the game. Let me see my fifth grade education. 21 times 4, they will score 84. Well, I was doing that at one point. They'll score 70. And sure enough,
they did.
They scored 70.
Yeah, it was so fun.
First time ever.
But it was the very next drive that HN said, well, I'm going to make up for this. Boom, 76-yard run for a touchdown. He hit that hole at full Mach 3.
That is the moment I realized how fast he really was.
And
that run exemplified his speed. If ever there was anything to exemplify it, that was it.
So that run, actually, he broke over 21 miles an hour on that run. But that was not the fastest player or the fastest play in the game. Who knows which one it was?
Mr. Hill, right after, man.
Yeah. And it was not his touchdown pass, you know, down the sideline. It was that wide receiver screen that he just took off. That was he exceeded 22 miles an hour, which I believe was the fastest run in the NFL, fastest speed this year.
But Scotty, all that speed is great, but it's been that offensive line that's been consistently getting better and better. And we're having that issue at center. We're going to have it this week, and we need to talk about it in the future.
Terrified.
Okay, but Robert Hunt, I'm just looking at the grading here in pass blocking, 80.8. Austin Jackson, the most pleasant surprise of our offensive line, 78.3.
He has developed. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are doing great. We've got to see Eichenberg and see maybe he will step up. I mean, Eichenberg as a guard did relatively well, 74.1. Is that center where he's been really lacking? And that's where he's going to play, apparently, this game.
Is
coming up.
Hondo, where is Cotton? Is he not ready?
So he had an ankle injury, unfortunately, and we haven't even been playing him at, a third-string center. He's just been playing guard.
If you go to Dolphins.com, he's still listed as a second string center.
Which makes no sense because they haven't even practiced there. Yep. He should be practicing as a backup guard or center. If not, that San Diego State kid, which we've all been talking about.
Yeah,
that,
on the practice squad.
Center.
Why not bring him up? True center.
Yeah, I mean,
at least he could hike the ball to the exact right location because he's done that his whole career.
Yeah, but why would it be so surprising that Eichenberg is not doing well at center? I mean, he's never played it before.
We're not surprised.
That's true.
You not know? One of us.
So I mean, the fact that you say I don't really follow that's those scoring, but he's 74 whatever at guard.
That's a guard.
I mean, that's a really good sign for me in terms of his future development with the Dolphins. I know you guys
don't like Eichenberg. He has lots of scores way under 74.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's not talk about the four, right?
I think the surprising thing is we keep playing Eichenberg at center.
Yeah, good point.
the man has spoken. It's like the voice of God.
It's a great point. We're playing
and it was literally a mic
drop. That's the avocado in me.
And it was literally a mic drop afterwards. Did you hear that? One sentence, mic drop.
Well, I mean, he rated the lowest rating all of us have ever seen.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. It wasn't against the Giants. It was against the
wasn't that like an Animal House? He had a 4 or something, 0.0. I mean, Jesus.
Can you get lower? Yeah.
Can you get lower?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of our criticisms of McD last year was his complete inability to make or get a challenge correct. What did you think of the challenge he made in the first half of this game?
It was great, man.
It was a brilliant challenge. It was not your typical, hey, we need to get the first down. Hey, this is a prevention of a turnover. This was...
I mean, not only that, the thing is that the ref should have had it right from the beginning. Yeah. That's a ridiculous call to allow the Giants to have a first down on a drive where they can maybe go down and score a touchdown and get momentum against the Dolphins. That shouldn't even ever happen. There was 11 guys clearly on the field. The fact that he had to call a challenge at all just to get it right.
The ref saw somebody running off the field, they threw the flag rather than actually do the count. That's what it came to me.
No, what came to me was the fact that why was 11 guys on the field and one guy running off the fucking field?
Yeah, it was still a fuck up. Yes.
We learned that from Bill Belichick's special teams play.
Okay, so I have Darren Waller on my fantasy team, so it was very hard not to root for him, knowing that
the Dolphins seem to always have
a problem covering tight ends. Year after year after player after player, different defense, different defensive coordinator, different linebackers, different safeties, different corners. We still can't cover a tight end. Waller was the one player who was owning us during this game, the only Giant.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley was out, which is the best player in New York, in the Giants. And Waller was targeted a shitload of times, and he did okay. He did great. I mean, they're fine.
I think we should get Jimmy Butler to cover tight ends for the Dolphins. We need somebody else. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know. Well, somebody.
David Long, wasn't that part of what he was supposed to do? Because being this linebacker that was quick and we thought he was going to be able to cover tight ends? Anybody?
Fangio's system, you have to have a safety, like kind of playing like a star position, basically, that covers tight ends. So it wouldn't be Long in that system. So it's got to be a guy like we used to have, like Eric Rowe, who used to cover tight ends for us and had some success.
Well, wouldn't Holland be able to do that?
Yeah, so the plan, what you would think, is to have Holland, Deshaun Elliott, and then having a Brandon Jones or someone like that where you can rotate those type of guys to be able to have one of them on a tight end in a game, especially when you're about to play, not this week, but Goddard, and you're playing Kelsey. You're playing guys like that leading up in the season.
If we don't figure something out, Kelsey's going to murder us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only pass catcher worth a damn on the Chiefs right now. We all saw him murder Denver last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, better game plan, I'm sorry. Anyways, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
But our star in defense was Andrew Van Ginkel. I mean, his performance, we just got to give this kid all the prop, man. He's just been out there. He's just been off the chart. I mean, look at him, 78.2 on passing coverage, on his run support, incredible. It's 2 sacks. I mean, come on.
Question is, was AVG, because Fangio started him as a linebacker this year.
Mm-hmm.
So would he have been so on Waller Phillips if he wasn't playing defensive end?
I don't think he's a coverage.
I don't think he is too.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, he's excelling at defensive end, and we got to figure out more ways to get him into the
even
lineup.
When Phillips is back.
Play both of them.
Yeah. I'd play Phillips and AVG right and left.
Exactly.
The only other thing you can do is play AVG, try to see if you can get him into inside linebacker and play him there. If you can't, then Chubb is going to have to rotate out, because AVG and Phillips are by far our best pass rushers, at least getting to the quarterback. I know Chubb's numbers were
He's
really
got a
good
lot of hurries. Yeah. So he's getting pressure, he's just not getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Cool. So injuries. Wynn got hurt. How's he looking? Have you been watching?
Yeah, he's back. He's good. All right. he's fully good to go. I think he was just banged up a little bit, but he was out for only one play. He came right back in. It was kind of like the Chargers game. I don't know what happened. His shoe got untied or something like that in the Chargers game. I don't know what happened. But he went out of the game, and I saw Eichenberg going left guard. And I, to be fair, I actually really liked the Eichenberg pick coming out of Notre Dame. I watched Notre Dame a lot in college. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I think he'd be a good player for us eventually. But when he got into the game, knowing what I know today, I was super frustrated. I was like, why is Wynn out of the game? I can't believe he's hurt already in the first game. Same thing happened this game. Came back next play. Was fine. Was able to get back into practice this week. He's totally good to go.
So was Wynn hurt, basically, last week at somewhat? Because let me tell you, he was the worst offensive lineman, bar none, for run blocking of the Miami Dolphins. His rating came in at just barely over 40.
He was just great at pass blocking. He just was.
His pass blocking was a little bit better, but not much.
I know PFF is a little weird with some of their grading and blocking, but yeah, Isaiah Ray is one of the better.
Pass
guards.
Blocking, he came in at 55.
40. Yeah, but run blocking, I don't know. He was hurt, though. Who knows? He was probably playing hurt.
Connor Williams also came down very low. Well, the only guy worse than him in that was Connor Williams.
Yeah, he got hurt, but he came back. So he came back, played. You know, obviously we opened holes. We ran over 200 yards. And I'm not really going to complain about that one, you know, when it comes to Isaiah. He's been really good all season for us, and especially what we're paying for him. You know, Greer made a humongous decision there and was a freaking genius.
So the other thing I love that Greer did was signing Sealer, because even signed that guy, you know, he's not trying to earn his contract anymore. He has a contract, and he's playing out of his mind.
And maybe not signing Wilkins was also, in hindsight, not looking like a good decision. Look, it's looking pretty decent.
I was going to say, when you guys talked about AVG, I was going to mention Sealer, because Sealer's been awesome.
Sealer's been a beast.
He's been awesome. He's been a beast. Run stopping and getting out
and
of the quarter.
Getting into the quarter backfield. Yeah?
Yes.
So anything else? Alex, do you have any more notes on the Giants game? I don't have a ton of notes.
Not a ton. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I had is Tua forcing the ball like he did. I really think that that's a problem that's going to really bite us in the rear end against good teams.
If we're in a playoff atmosphere and he makes those mistakes, we're not going to advance.
And we're driving in for a touchdown, and he forces, and then we end up with a pick six. That's a killer.
Doing a triple coverage.
Yeah. And he did it. He did it two or three times during the game, and twice it bit him in the rear end and he got intercepted.
What do you think the defense was doing to cause him to make mistakes like that?
I thought it was him. He was throwing into double, triple coverage. He was forcing the ball.
Yeah.
That simple. And in a game like this, what we need from Tua, since our defense is getting really very little turnovers, we're not forcing them, we can't be turning the ball over. Against good teams, guys, we're going to have problems. Yeah. But it's going to be a challenge. When we're playing the Dallases of the world, the Eagles, even the Chiefs, we can't be doing this.
See, I told you, as you get older, you get jaded. You see, there you go. You're hearing it right now.
I don't like turnovers.
But here's my conclusion to the game.
Yeah.
We kicked the Giants' ass. And quite frankly, I was happy we won, but I'm kind of a Giants fan, too. That was always been my team in the NFC.
You're weird.
He knows. He's seen weird. My giant blue hat on. I purposely did not go to the game because it's like a dichotomy for me. So, but my conclusion was we really kicked their ass. There was no, even with the interception 102 yards, okay, I never had a doubt that we were going to kill them.
Because
in that
we're
game.
Playing a shitty team.
No question.
If you're doing that against those teams that I just mentioned, you're not going to get away with that. So Tua cannot be doing that. He did it against a real bad team, a team that couldn't move the ball.
Has a lot of
that, what was their total yardage? I mean, it was a joke. I didn't even want to look it up. The Giants are terrible.
To come to Tua's defense just real quick, I definitely agree.
He always does that, by the way. He comes to Tua's defense.
No, I love Tua. He's my guy. I've been a Tua guy since forever. I think that obviously he's gotten better every year, and coaching has definitely helped with that and getting
and his health.
Yeah, and health as well. I mean, the whole jujitsu thing and all that stuff. But regardless, that one in the end zone definitely was forced. I think there was a one where there was like Tyreek was triple covered and there was no reason to throw to him.
Mm-hmm.
That Waddle one, you know, what's funny is I don't think it was forced to Waddle. The pass itself wasn't forced. I don't blame him on that second interception. Ooh. That's not on Tua. It isn't on Tua.
What?
Connor Williams got blown up. Tua's arm hit Connor Williams. If you guys seen the play, I watched the whole play. If you see the replay, his arm hit Connor Williams' helmet. That's why it floated like that. He's super accurate. He's top three accurate quarterback in the NFL. Ball doesn't float on him on a 5 to 7 yard pass where Waddle's going across the field. Now, he was force feeding Waddle that game. He had 10 targets. You could tell they're trying to get Waddle back into it, into the flow, because really hasn't to this point. So maybe you could say he was forcing, but not on that pass specifically. To the player, yeah, they were trying to get to Waddle, but that play got blown up in the middle, and Connor should never have been that close to where Tua. Tua didn't even step up in the pocket to throw that. You know, so that second one isn't really on Tua. Just one of those football plays that defensive tackle did a great job pushing into Tua. His arm went up, and the guy got an interception. It was a good play.
But that, yeah, and they were playing a bad team. I mean, they you know, I think there's something in that, generally speaking. There shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. But they play a bad team. They play down to the team. You know, it's you guys have played sports. You play down to your opponents a lot of times.
Did we play down to Denver?
No, well, that was an exception. That was, you know, that's one in a million, man. One in a million.
It was an enjoyable exception. I can't get out of my brain. I saw a post on social media today from a Broncos fan who decided to do his Halloween decorations to the score of the Miami Denver game.
That was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? That was so good.
A skeleton sitting in a chair with his, you know, hand over his eyes like this, like a scoreboard in front of him. Another skeleton, like, constantly puking into a bowl. It was awesome.
The tombstones were like the playoffs and, like, relevancy. And like things
like Brilliant.
And by the way, you can tell by that comment, you know, Scott's choice in music. He's a heavy metal kind of guy. He loves that heavy metal. Yeah, it is his thing. The puking is just, it's an attraction to you, isn't it?
No, it is not.
Oh, God.
All right, so we're one quarter of the way through the season. We're headed into week six, and our Miami Dolphins are 4-1. How are you guys thinking we're going to do the rest of the season? Project. Alex?
My predictions haven't changed. We're going to end up, I believe I said it was 11-6.
Right? You're sticking with your preseason picks?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent. I was at 12-5, and I think I'm thinking maybe 13-4 now. I see them, they go through that string coming up with, you know, Kansas City, Philadelphia. Of course, this week we'll all be at the game there at Hard Rock Stadium. So, yeah, I see them getting three out of those four. I don't know why. I get a feeling they're going to either be Philadelphia or KC. One of those two, they're going to win. And then they're going to – I 13-4. I say 13-4.
Wow, I love it. Eric, what thought have you put into this, sir?
Well, if I had the optimism of young Hondo, I'd be in the 13s. But I think I'm still 12-5. The Bills game was honestly a big setback for me. I knew we were missing Connor. I knew we were missing a couple people. I think we should have played a Shane earlier. I think we should have stuck with the run. I still think we have a lot to prove. I think we can beat teams we should beat, but we need to start beating teams that are the real challenge for us.
We haven't done that yet.
Nope.
We're 4-1.
Until we can do that. Until we can dominate the AFC, you know, leaders in the field, we're still a wannabe team.
All right, a little proof. Hondo.
When the season started, I thought 11-6. Now that we've gone through that first 4-week gauntlet of having three road games and now having only, what, four true road games the rest of the season, with the Kansas City Chiefs being the home team in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I can see us easily 12-5. I think that there's what brand, it's the NFL. These guys are good. There's always a game that catches you by surprise that you don't expect. It's not going to be this weekend. I hope it's not for all of us. I don't think it will be.
Yeah, but we're here. We cannot lose.
No. We'll be okay this weekend.
Money has been spent.
Which, by the way, those two guys are kind of jinxes. Last time they came here last year, they were playing Atlanta, and we lost.
No, I'm the anti-jinx, though. I have a really crazy record of watching my teams live. I watch a lot of sports, but watching my teams live, I've seen a lot of teams, baseball, basketball, football, college football, I've seen all my teams win a lot more than I've seen.
Hey, asshole. Didn't we go to Los Angeles? What happened in Los Angeles?
That's true this year.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. But that Magic was year. Los Angeles, not Miami.
So I think 12-5 to answer your question. I think 12-5 makes sense to me. I can see us winning a lot of different games, and I think there's, you know, the Eagles. I think we lose against the Eagles, but I think the Chiefs is a game that's very winnable. And there's other games down the stretch that'll be tough for us. You know, the Jets are going to be a tough game for us, regardless of what people think. When they're okay, we usually split that series. So that's one of those things that I think 12-5 makes sense in my head, but we'll see.
So you think we're going to split with the Jets?
I think the Jets are really tough in New York. Those guys hate us. That stadium's going to be loud and crazy. That defense is top three, regardless of what people think of the offense. It's tough when your offense can't move the ball that well with the DBs that they have and the pass rush that they have. Zach Wilson or whoever can be back there, you can still lose that type of game. That's one of those games that catches you by surprise. The Jets are kind of out of the playoffs maybe by that point, and they can sneak on you. I think the Patriots is a easy sweep, and the Bills, we could beat them at home in Miami for sure, but might not matter at that point. Possibly at that point of the season. Yeah, it might not matter.
That far ahead of them?
Last game of the year.
I'm just saying maybe we're two games ahead of them and it doesn't matter at that point for us.
Sure.
You never know. They just lost to the Jaguars, so you never know what the Bills are going to do. And if that's the case, that scenario, we may get swept by the Bills because we play, you know, Mike White and guys like that in the last game.
Could happen.
And I love the optimism, but sorry to be Debbie Downer. Decades of losing. In positivity, be damned.
Dante Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper, yeah.
I want to say better than this, but 11-6 for me. Until they beat somebody consistently who's good and do it over and over again, I've seen them keep shitty teams in games. And until that changes, I'm not changing.
I was the worst of the Debbie Downers when it came to our season prediction. I said 9-8 originally.
Mm-hmm. You're changing that now, right?
I explained that pretty. Give me a chance here.
You're changing that now.
Oh my God.
However, where
Scott was right, where Scott was wrong. My biggest concern was the offensive line. And it still remains the offensive line. Every time Connor goes out and I see Eichenberg come in there and score four PFF because people are just running by him on every play, that's going to get to a hurt. That was the reason that I picked the bad score because I didn't think Tua was going to last the season. So and I didn't you, think he was going to last.
Don't tell me you're still at 9-8. Please.
I'm getting there. Let me tell my story. I'm a storyteller. Yeah, so... So now they've proven to be better than I expected, right? Which is a great sign. Even with all of the problems that we expected, you know, some injuries, they're still better than I expected. And the other thing that I didn't expect was this running game. That we have the number one running game in the NFL blows my mind. If we'd signed Cook and we had it, or if we'd signed Jonathan Taylor, you know, traded for him and had it, then I wouldn't be that shocked. But with the players that we have... I am blown away. The thing that I expected to be better is I thought Fangio was going to come in and take this defense to the next level, mm-hmm. right? Because that we had the players on the team. And the system that he was going to bring in and the experience and the coaching was going to correct for all those idiotic things that we saw and complained about from Boyer, you know, in the last couple years. And like, okay, now the defense is going to, if not elite, be really, really good. And they're not. So far, they're not good.
But Scotty, we've seen little flashes of that defense, and we've seen calls at the right, perfect time. Going back to the game we saw with the Chargers.
I mean, we gave up a million points, but the very end, we made the right call at the right time.
And we saw it the week after, and so it is our defense. I hope will keep improving.
And can I just say one thing? I think that. The age of defenses winning championships are not here anymore. It's the offense that wins championships. So the running game, he was successful, McDaniel, in San Francisco with the running game. So it is surprising because you had no faith in the offensive linemen, really. That's probably why. And you didn't know Chan. But right. I think that really Kansas City won the Super Bowl a few years ago, and I think they had the 18th ranked defense in the NFL that year they won it. But they had an amazing offense. the way I see it, we have an amazing offense here too. Now,
and yes,
I think
we do.
I think we could take it all the way with the with that caliber of offense. You know, how good does your defense have to be when you're scoring 38, 40 points a game?
Yeah. So I'm adding 3 wins.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
I'm adding 3.
You're using your podcast license to just change that.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to hold me to my preseason picks and say how bad I did at the end of the season.
I will.
Because we're going to, you know, into the playoffs with a great record, I will be happy to be wrong.
One quick thing on the defense. So I know that we've given up a shit ton of yards, okay? We've given up passing yards, rushing yards. I get that.
Please don't tell me when Phillips comes back and when Ramsey comes back.
Nope.
Okay.
But the first game of the season, first new defense, new personnel, we have 34 points. Yeah. It is what it is. You are on the road. You won the game.
I didn't expect that Buffalo to drop a 40 on
us. They dropped it on us. It is what it is, right? Now, looking at the 3 other games, right? Patriots, Denver, and the Giants. Bad teams. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But there's been a defensive touchdown.
How many games have they won between them? 3?
NFL
something
team,
like that.
So, yeah. 3. You're right. So 3. Yeah, but and we haven't had enough games to really have this discussion quite yet, right? Yeah, and we're going to have another one against the Panthers and we'll say the same thing, they haven't won a game yet, right? But the Giants scored what was it? 16
nothing,
or something?
Nothing.
And but that wasn't even all of them.
They scored on their
score a touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown offensively, right? The Broncos scored 1 touchdown offensively. Yeah, they had a special teams touchdown. Great. The Patriots actually was the best team out of the 3 teams against them. They scored 17 points against us. So we're one of those bend, don't break defenses at the moment, and we're giving up a ton of yards, but we're holding the guys out of the end zone with an offense as good as ours. That's basically what you have to do.
That's
at
the
this
definition
point,
of
right?
bend, don't break.
And that's what he was billed coming in. He has a bend, don't break type defense, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get on the Panthers.
Yay, Panthers! Well, we've only played them 7 times in our history, and we're 5-2 against them. And I think it's going to be 6-2 undoubtedly. But one thing that does concern me a little bit about the Panthers, when you look at total defense, guys, where do you guys think it's ranked, the Panthers?
17.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say we're 20.
13th.
Wow.
Oh, that's better than I thought.
And in passing defense, which is interesting, they're 6th rank in the NFL. They've given up 190. So when you have a defense that has 13th rank and they're 6th in 1.
Run the ball.
That means, yeah, we're gonna, the only
the
way
ball.
We have is run the ball against them. And they're a tough, they're not a pushover, guys.
The
we're
Lions not, just destroyed those guys.
Yes.
Jared Goff with no Amon-Ra St. Brown threw 4 touchdowns.
Passing the ball, he got them.
4
and
touchdowns.
Still, they're still well-ranked with their defense against the pass.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be more challenging than we thought. But we're going to win the game. I'm not sure we're going to, you know, blow them out.
Like I that. Like Tua more than Goff, so
me
that's
too.
All I have to
me
say.
Me too. Yeah, but
thank
I
you
think,
for the deep perception.
But
Andy.
They're also very poorly ranked on offense. They're one the bottom of the league.
Yeah, their quarterback, which everyone wanted, is not looking so good.
No,
I mean I you know, if in hindsight, CJ Stroud is looking like the guy that should have been first pick.
That was my guy.
Yeah, he's looking exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking good, but they're 23rd.
Their
ranked.
Injury list is pretty long too.
Yeah, Miles Sanders has already been out 100%.
Shocker.
And so he's
but he's still
five
their best
starters.
Back.
6 five, guys overall, 5 starters.
And their left
officially.
Tackle and their left tackle who is going to play has been horrible. Horrible. It's been, you know, he's giving a lot of pressures. I think we're going to win this game relatively easy. I don't think we'll win by, you know, 14 points. That's what I think. That's my take.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's probably like a 27-13
that's
type
what I
game.
See, that type of game.
I agree with you. Yeah.
We're going to score. They're going to have a tough time scoring on us and tough time.
Let's ask the wet blanket. Jeff, what do you think? Is it going to be a center disaster?
We let teams hang around, and they've got something to prove. They're not a very talented team.
You think we'll still be chewing on our fingernails in the
Panther
fourth quarter?
He's but, from Charlotte.
I'm from Charlotte.
Yeah, he lives in Charlotte.
But you know what? I'll say this about you. You weren't the guy at the beginning of the season saying Tua's going to get injured 9-8.
Right.
Yeah. There was a guy that said that.
Yes. Is that right, Alex? Room.
That's true. There was. Okay.
Let's pile on.
I think we'll win, but I don't think it's going to be substantial. I don't think it's going to be Denver.
Oh, no.
So how drunk will we be when we put up another 70 burger?
Mighty.
Man, we just put up 50. I mean.
I know.
Yeah.
We're going to go 5-1, gentlemen. Whether it's going to be, a blowout of 2014, who knows, but we're going to win. It's a solid victory. There's no way we're going to lose this game. This guy's going to go 0-6. Our team has way too much talent, and they're way too injured. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Will we see the vending machine this week?
That's a great question.
Claypool.
I think he'll be limited. I think he'll play.
I think he could be a game changer at tight end.
Oh, God.
That's a rumor. Has anyone actually, one of the people that's actually allowed to watch a practice said anything about that?
I haven't seen anyone say that, but I can see McDaniel lining him up in weird spots. Okay, I know
he does that, right? He could start in the backfield.
Is he really shaped like a vending machine?
He's massive, man. He's 6'4", 235 pounds. Jeez. The guy's massive. The thing is about Claypool, his first two seasons, he was actually a really good blocker.
Yes.
He went to Notre Dame. You have to block at wide receiver.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yes. Now, after that effort and certain things like that, yes, but with the culture that we have.
They called him a cancer team, in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago had a lot of problems.
But they never won a game there.
Yeah, it's not fun to play over there.
He never won a game. I heard that. Yes. Unbelievable.
You go from Big Ben to...
And Pittsburgh, they also called him a cancer. They didn't like him in either place. But
the problem with Pittsburgh was it wasn't about his play. It was that he was frustrated because they drafted George Pickens. And so his third year in the league, they drafted George Pickens. They already had Deontay Johnson. He automatically became the number three and wasn't getting targets.
Well, here's a number four.
That's different, maybe, though. He's coming into a situation. He was drafted by that team. Got and told, hey, you're the guy. We love you as a number two. You're great. He had great. Look at his highlights.
Yes.
The guy was awesome. He took jet sweeps. He catches balls and breaks tackles, gets first downs, jump up and high point the ball. The guy was really good. Let's not be wrong. He's a talented player. We don't know what he's going to do on the Dolphins or what we expect him. We are getting him as a fourth, fifth receiver, whatever it is.
In for a steal. In for a steal. We gave up nothing. Yeah. We swapped to seventh.
Chris Greer, baby.
Or sixth. I'm not quite there, Hondo.
Seventh and sixth.
Nice try.
Maybe if he's from Notre Dame, he can play center.
He's big enough to play tight end, I'll tell you that. He's a big boy, and he was on my fantasy league, as I recall, when he was in Pittsburgh, and he was pretty good there. He had some good games in Pittsburgh.
So McDaniel's going to start using tight ends all of a sudden? Because, I mean, it didn't happen last
year. Well, we really
year.
Don't have a tight end. He went with all blocking tight ends this year. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, but last year we had...
They wanted to develop a running game, so he went with guys that could really block at that position. And that's why we don't have that
Smythe
now.
Smythe
so.
Is also Notre Dame.
Great blocker. Sure-handed, great blocker. Love that guy.
Yep.
But Claypool's not a tight end. So, again, you're going to use him. And McDaniel's so smart, he's an offensive genius. I mean, let him figure that out. He'll figure out a way
except to for managing the clock.
That's getting better.
It's getting better.
It's getting better.
Yep.
It's nothing but smiles in Dolphin Land these days.
All right, round the horn. Last word.
All I can say is I'll repeat it again. It's great to be here in Miami. It's awesome to be here hosted with Andy, a childhood friend that. Just really good to be with all these guys together here watching this game. This is going to be an easy victory. We're, like I said, 10, 14 points. Never's going to be in doubt this game. So it's a great game to come watch.
Andy, you want to give a shout out to our tailgate people?
Well, yeah, Kent and Chris and all those guys at the tailgate will be tailgating, but I want to just say it's great.
Did
to
you
be...
actually warn them that we're all coming?
Yes. Okay. I've sent them a Zelle payment already for all of that.
Wait, there's money involved?
So you're in Miami. There's always money involved, but I want to just say it's really great to host. I'm so happy to see Dolphin fans, all of you, even Alex, here with
not
it.
The best one.
Here's,
no even, politics.
Even Alex. Now, really happy that you guys came down here to see Dolphin fans, and great to chat with you all. You know, on our Dolphin chat and talk about the Fins. It's a fun part of my day. Really love it, and just happy to have you guys here at La Finca. By the way, available for rental.
There you La go. Finca Get Ranch, the commercial so
anytime.
Yes. Yeah, the price of having
had
us.
Had a plug.
Yeah, no.
Well, I want to thank Andy and at La Finca for Rebecca, their hospitality and the giant avocados. By the way, the biggest avocados I've ever seen. Right. But it's great to be here, actually see a Dolphin game. We were talking as a group kind of what the first game we all saw as a Dolphin fan. And mine was the Buffalo Bills in versus Miami, Zonka, Greasy, Ferguson, OJ, and Dempsey missed the field goal. And you know, that was the first game. And that was at that point the Fins had beaten Buffalo 25 games in a row and had a record, and I look forward to getting that record going again.
Yeah.
Last note, I guess McCaffrey's not here to save the Carolina Panthers this time, and Jalen Waddle breakout game, baby, he's back. I'm calling it right now.
Love it.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for having us. Thanks for hosting. Appreciate it.
Yeah, mention Rebecca, please. She'll kill me if I don't.
Rebecca. I just met Rebecca.
Yeah, he's the only one that didn't get to eat her food.
She promised me a meal tomorrow night.
A good Cuban meal.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Rebecca.
Once again, Rebecca.
Love you, Rebecca.
What was
Rebecca
better?
Rebecca more than Andy,
the black beans. Oh, my God. My mouth is watering talking about it.
Maybe I'll get lucky if you mention her name two more times.
There you go. Hey, Rebecca, you got to listen to the podcast tonight.
Have I mentioned Rebecca?
Yeah.
No, thanks for everything. It's fun to, you know, finally meet everybody. We've been doing this text string for probably 3-4 years, right?
Longer than that, I think. Yeah. So it's probably 6 or 7 years.
So we're really looking forward to the weekend. Had a lot of fun just in the past couple hours. Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Everyone know how this ends?
Well, we're going to the improv in about 15 minutes, so
it better end
soon. Ends.
Oh, shit.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Go!
Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. We have a sponsor we'd like to thank, Sawbox Music Company, makers of eclectic stringed instruments, boutique tube amplifiers, and custom portable music devices. Check them out at sawboxguitars.com. That's SawboxGuitars.com. Or find them on Facebook. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there. Or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.